We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
Our 91.7 FM Memphis.
Welcome once again to the Vagabond Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from the Walter Anderson Museum in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Thank you, thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at the Walter Anderson Museum here at this beautiful community center, looking at the artwork done by Mr. Walter Anderson himself in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. We have a full house here in the hall, and we have a great show lined up for you. Two bands, count them, two bands from New Orleans, Louisiana, Gal Holiday and the Honky Tonk Review. They're going to be here, yeah. Ooh. We've also got, well, that wonderful book, y'all, Walter Anderson, The Extraordinary Life and Art of the Islander. We've got Robert St. John and Anthony Thaxton are here to talk about the book and their companion film, which won two Emmys, by the way. And we're going to take it home again with one of our favorites from New Orleans, y'all, the original Pinette's Brass Band. Yeah. The captain will turn off the no smoking sign for that band, ladies and gentlemen, and the no dancing sign. Are y'all ready for our house band? Let's bring them to the stage to get the show rolling. It is the Yalla Bushwhackers. Boy! Yalla Bushwhackers, y'all. Let them hear you, please. Let them hear ya. Our house band, Ricky Burkhead on the drums. That's Sam Bruton over there on the piano. Slade Lewis on that big upright bass. And out front up there is Paul Tate, our band leader and guitarist. Yalla Bushwhackers. Thank you, gentlemen. Oh, yeah. They'll be back later in the show. As we mentioned, we're in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, which, among other things, is known for the great artwork of Walter Anderson. And we're in this room. I wish our radio audience could take it in. It is covered in the murals of the artwork of Walter Anderson, all the great fauna and wildlife that he loved to paint, the incredible stories about that you all know so well, about him rowing out 15 miles in that boat, a small little skiff, to Horn Island, and then sleeping out there 3 weeks at a time and just turning that skiff over and sleeping under it. And I'm thinking, man, no Wi-Fi. But mosquitoes that are just unspeakable. But we're in this wonderful facility that y'all have kept going, and God bless you for doing that. It's nice and very cool and comfortable in here, and we're going to celebrate art, not only in Ocean Springs, but from New Orleans. When this our next guest band formed in 2004, Gal Holiday and the Honky Tonk Review were sort of in the vanguard of New Orleans' country music scene. We all think of the great R&B and all the great soul and gospel over there, but they have a vibrant country music scene, always have, and now it's even more vibrant because of this great band. Vanessa Neiman is the front person for this band, the founder and the guru of this band. Oh gosh, they call her the punk rock Patsy Cline. Y'all please welcome Gal Holiday and the Honky Tonk Review.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. Off of our last album that we recorded up in Water Valley, Mississippi. Yeah, Dalbach Sound. And this is a little tune about a dream I had about my grandfather. His name was Bill Shaneman. He passed away many, many years ago, but I still dream about him and think about him. He was a wonderful man. It's called In My Dreams Again. Night, looking fine and deep, sitting in the moonlight, playing on your marten, your voice a tenor drop, a song I've never heard, and probably can recall, but there you were, in the old backyard. Sat upon your knee, told you all about my life. 20 years so quickly come and gone again. A life so full of trouble I'd never recommend. Of course, you already knew. And my heart was glad to talk with you. You were in my dreams again last night. Dreams, dreams, dreams of you. A child breathing in your cologne. Never had to worry, never been alone. When I awoke to my regular view, missing you but dreams carried me through. You were in my dreams again last night. Dreams, dreams, dreams of you. So we're going to do one more song for you. This next little tune was written by Mr. Justin LaCure over here on the acoustic guitar. It's a little tune off that same album, Lost and Found. We do have some stuff for sale back there, too. If you don't have a CD player anymore, we are available on all kinds of internet platforms, too. This here's a little swamp pop tune for you, as we call it down here. All right, goes like this. Running through my mind, I know I wasn't kind. Words escaped that were mine, that were better left behind. Ocean Springs, Mississippi.
Gail Holiday, y'all, and the Honky Tonk Review. One more time. Real stuff. That album is called Lost and Found. Gail Holiday and the Honky Tonk Review. Thank y'all so much for being on the show with us. So great. The real deal. Great band. Thank y'all. We'd like to remind you that you are listening. Yeah. Thank y'all. Absolutely. We'd like to remind you that you're listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from the Walter Anderson Museum in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, in this beautiful community center. You're hearing us on the stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, the stations of Alabama Public Radio, WYXR Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, and WUTC Public Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Also, we'd like to thank our sponsors, R&B Fader Charitable Foundation. Woo. We love y'all. The good folks at Visit Mississippi, Gulf Hills Hotel and Resort. Man, they have upgraded that place. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when it was just the lady and the little dog would come clean your room. Yeah, it was... Y'all know what I'm talking about. Arts Council of Clinton, AT&T, Cannon Motors, Community Foundation for Mississippi. We love them. Delta Magazine, Delta State University, the Hilton Garden Inn in Madison, Mississippi. These are all lists of places where we won't be invited back, ladies and gentlemen. That's basically what's going on. Lyric Oxford, Mississippi Arts Commission, the Mississippi Humanities Council, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Neshoba County Fair Association. Took on some rain this week. I hope they're okay down there. Party waiting to happen. Dr. Ralph and Douglas Vance. Snooki and Mary Lou Williams Foundation of Water Valley, Mississippi. That's two Water Valley mentions in one show. That's Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, Square Books, Taproot Audio Design, Tom and Carol Sharp, the Grand Poobah, our mysterious sponsor, refuses to be named, could very well be in this very room. But I doubt it. Visit Oxford, Wayne and Weta Drinkwater, Yazoo County Convention Bureau, the Yatabatapa Arts Council, and the Friends of Thacker Mountain Radio. One more time, we'd like to mention R&B Fader Charitable Foundation, the staff of the Walter Anderson Museum. The good folks at Visit Mississippi. Thank you, thank you, thank you. More information how you can help keep the show going at ThackerMountain.com. Thank you so much. Sam Bruton, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Sam. Man, what a professional. How did we get him? All right. Our next guest, y'all know them and love them, Robert St. John and Anthony Thaxton. The book is Walter Anderson, The Extraordinary Life and Art of the Islander. Robert St. John and Anthony Thaxton.
Thank you.
One thing that really struck me in both the book and the TV show was how he did not care about fame one whit.
Not at all.
He even hid his art away, right?
He did, actually, and that's one of the stories that you said is one of your favorites, and it's one of our favorites, is how the when Walter died and the family goes into the cottage, and there's artwork all around. There's artwork in the fireplace that he had thrown away to burn, and it just kind of put the fire out. So there's artwork everywhere, but again, going in that little room and finding the artwork in that chest that he had put away, that had set aside as a special thing, artwork that had never been seen. If he had died and had not set that stuff away, had the family not been such wonderful patrons and put forth his art, none of us would be here. None of us would be in this room. We wouldn't be celebrating the genius that he was.
The trip to China, he got over there, obviously, and he walked everywhere. He walked. Think of it, y'all. He walked from Hong Kong almost to the Great Wall trying to get to Tibet.
Absolutely.
And he got robbed and had to abort the mission, so he walked back.
And not having his passport, he had to wait until they could arrange to get a replacement passport. And what happens in that situation is, what's he going to do? He's waiting. He all his supplies were stolen, his good art supplies, his notebooks, his sketchbooks. So he got a child's watercolor set, cheap paper because he had no money, and he was begging these things, and it changed how he painted for the rest of his life, because no longer was it about using the best materials, it was about the process of it. And then when he gets home after all of this, and he had a toothache and he had fallen and had to get missionaries donated money so he could go to the dentist, he gets home, he's been gone all these months, he pulls up on the bicycle, and what does Sissy say? I had a flat tire. And that was his response after being gone all that time.
We talked about rowing 15 miles to Horn Island, and as we were joking, you know, I would get tired with a trolling motor.
I didn't realize it was going to be such a small sailboat. I'm kind of a big guy, and I'm not a starving artist. And so as we're sailing out there, the wind died, and we had to start paddling because you can't just stay there. And John kept apologizing, Anthony, I'm so sorry. He's apologizing, and I'm like, this is what your dad got to do, and nobody gets to do this. And there were dolphins coming up beside the boat. I'm like, John, I was sore for a month, but it was wonderful. It was wonderful experience.
I never thought of the repetition in his work. You would see there'd be a seagull, 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 instead of just a single one. Mm-hmm. And that's very much by design, because he was so into music, he wanted the visuals to have rhythm.
Absolutely. Music was so special to him. He listened to music. When they had no money to start with, he would buy an album, a record, and listen to music and dance around in the cottage. But on these trips, when they were first married, Walter and Sissy went to a music festival, and that's when they came down the river. Of course, if you go to a music festival, you should come home by canoe on the Mississippi River. So as they're coming down, that's when he got bitten by the mosquito. So music was very integral to what and he would have loved this night tonight with these great bands.
This book and this film is incredible. You can is it okay to say the film is on pbs.org? You
Absolutely.
Can watch it tonight on your computer, or it's there. It is beautiful. The music is great. The book is incredible. If you have a friend that has just moved to the coast, maybe is not familiar with the coast, this is the book for them.
It's a great gift, because the book continues where the film leaves off. It's a continuation of family stories. And if you go to walteranderson film.com, if you know an art teacher, there are lesson plans on there that you can download. They're behind the scenes stuff. So a lot of good stuff. And we're just thrilled that the family trusted us with this.
Absolutely. Thank you again for being here, John Anderson. Anthony Thaxton, y'all. We're going to hear the afterword of the book written by Robert St. John. This is quite the duo, and they've already won an Emmy for this, and they've already announced it, I can tell you. Their next project is on Eudora Welty, so we can't wait for that. Yeah. Robert St. John, y'all.
Thanks, Jim. There are three constants that have been ever present in my life from day one: food, music, and art. For the purposes of this afterword, I'll focus on art. I'm not an artist, though I grew up in the house of an artist. My mother also grew up in the house of an artist, and her mother grew up in the house of an artist. Tragedy struck my family early. My father died at 36. I was 6, my brother was 10. My mother, who had earned an undergraduate degree in art a decade earlier, went back to school, received her master's, and began teaching art to support our family. She continued to teach art for the next 50 years. Growing up in the house of an artist sets one apart from the other families in the neighborhood, and to my thinking, in a good way. Before she began teaching in the public and private school systems and later at the university level, she taught in a small makeshift studio on the second floor of our home. Our house always smelled of Grumbacher oil paint, wax candles, turpentine, and gumbo. In the early years, our mother took my brother and me to any art event that came within a day's drive of our South Mississippi home. As kids, we pled to go to amusement parks. She took us to art galleries. We begged to go to concerts. She took us to arts festivals. Today, we're both better for it. She opened a commercial art gallery at one point, and it was there at the Cardboard Cow on 40th Avenue in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, that I was first introduced to the work of Walter Anderson. What attracted me immediately to the work of Anderson, even as a 10-year-old, were the coastal themes, and especially the shrimp, crab, and fish. Anderson's Mississippi coast spoke to me. His coast eventually became my coast. Our mother knew she wasn't going to be able to play backyard football or hunt, but she figured she could learn how to fish. So she took what little savings she had and purchased a small lot on the outskirts of Van Cleve, Mississippi, in the middle of the last unregulated major river system in the lower 48 states. The fish camp was nothing more than a single-wide mobile home, but it was paradise for two young boys. We were two blocks away from John's Bayou, which trickled into the brackish water of Bluff Creek, which flowed into the Pascagoula River, which swiftly passed Walter Anderson's in-laws' estate at Oldfields, before heading out to the Mississippi Sound to Round Island, and eventually to Anderson's Gulf Muse, Horn Island. Buying a fish camp was the perfect widow move for a single woman with two boys in the late 60s. I learned how to fish and how to water ski. We put crab traps out in the morning and checked them at dusk. We frequented the Mississippi Gulf Coast seafood restaurants, and we visited Shearwater Pottery in Ocean Springs. In the early fish camp days, on a trip into town, my mother took us to Realizations, the Anderson family's gallery and store. It was there sometime in the early 70s that she purchased an Anderson alligator block print on wallpaper, which was likely printed and painted by his eldest daughter, Mary, or maybe his wife, Sissy. The alligator hung above the mantel in the den of our home from that day forward. When my mother eventually moved from our childhood home, she gave me the alligator for my home, where it hangs today. It was the most iconic art in our house. Everything important in the life of our family happened with the Anderson's alligator in the background. That's what art does. It weaves itself into the fabric of families. Now, at least as it pertains to the project you hold in your hands, Anderson hangs in the foreground of my life. I've always believed that the best art has a sense of place. I'm not sure if there's ever been an artist in the history of artists who was more of his place than Walter Anderson. He ventured out from his place on occasion, once as far as China, but we felt the Mississippi coast in that work even still. Anderson was so of his place, he spent thousands of nights over the course of 20 years sleeping in the sand under a small wooden skiff on a barren island. He traveled to his place using two wooden oars and a bedsheet for a sail. He endured rough seas, rising tides, blistering heat, humidity, mosquitoes, and even the wrath of a hurricane for one solitary reason: his art. He had no choice. He had to do it. He had to get it out of his head and onto paper, though I suspect the route didn't originate in the head but came from the heart on his way to those sheets of 8.5 by 11 typing paper. Anthony Thaxton and I love his story so much and the saga of the entire Anderson family that we had to get it on paper and onto the small screen. Good artists want to paint. Great artists must paint. And the greatest artists must paint at the expense of everything else and everyone else. Walter Anderson was certainly among the greatest. Tagged America's Van Gogh by art critics, he sacrificed everything for his art. His family, his friends, his social life, and in brief stints, his emotional health and well-being. The Anderson children grew up not in the house of an artist, but on the grounds of an artist. He made choices. Everyone in his life accepted his choices, and the world today is a better place because of that acceptance and those choices. My grandfather once told me the hardest thing to do is do something nice for someone and never tell anybody about the good deed. If that's true, then Anderson did the hardest thing an artist could ever do. He created these wonderful works you see herein, and thousands more, and locked them away in a hand-painted chest in a small, beautiful room that had been literally painted from floor to ceiling for no one to see. My grandfather would say that he did the toughest thing an artist could do. I would say he did the purest thing an artist could do. I'm told that Van Gogh never sold a piece of art in his lifetime, but I don't think it was for lack of desire to sell. Conversely, Anderson used his art for campfire lighter fuel on Horn Island, and the ones that made it back to Shearwater were locked away for no one to see. After his death, his sister-in-law rescued a large stack of watercolors in the fireplace of his home. The stack was so big that it put out the fire when he dropped it in. It was about the experience. To my thinking, the most poignant moment in the life of Anderson occurred when escaping a mental hospital during one of his two stays over the course of his life. Some people are born to make an entrance. Anderson was one who lived to make an exit. He could have walked out of the front door of the hospital at any moment as he was self-admitted to the facility. Yet he chose, as he did in almost every decision he ever made in his life, to take the creative way, the dreamer's route, the artist's exit. In the middle of the night, he fastened together torn bed sheets to form a makeshift rope, tied it together to the corner of the bed, climbed out the window, and lowered himself to the ground. To me, Walter Inglis Anderson's life can be summed up in that instant. The moment he lowered himself to freedom tells me more than anything else about Anderson. More than tying himself to a tree during a hurricane, more than living the life of a recluse sheltered from society, more than rowing a small wooden boat 12 miles out to an uninhabited barrier island. As he lowered himself down, he used a bar of ivory soap to draw birds in flight on the exterior brick wall of the hospital. It could have been any animal in the Anderson lexicon, an alligator, a crab, a fish, but it was a bird, the freest of all animals. To be that driven by art must be the ultimate freeing. He spent the remainder of his days out of the institution, free as a bird, free to create, free to paint, free to soar, free from anything that wasn't art. Growing up in the house of an artist was much tougher for the Anderson children than it was for me. Though they know, as I know, to live a dedicated life with laser focus and purpose is the ultimate freedom. And in the fullness of time, the ultimate gift to family, to friends, and to the world. Thank you.
Great job. Robert St. John, y'all. Anthony Thaxton. The book and the film are called Walter Anderson, The Extraordinary Life and Art of the Islander. We have copies back here. The guys are going to hang out and visit with us a little bit after the show, so please snag a copy and get into this and send it to that friend or relative who is not aware of this incredible story and this beautiful, out-of-this-world artwork. And again, John Anderson, thank you so much for being here. It means so much to have you here. If your daddy liked to raise a glass of wine and dance around his cottage, this is the band for him, man. He would love it, and y'all are going to love it, too. Y'all ready? I don't think you are, but here they are anyway. It is the original Pinette Brass Band.
Hello, everybody. city like the one I'm from.
Ain't no city like
Brass Band, y'all, all the way from the 504.
The original Pinhead Brass Band. How about them, y'all? We would like to say goodnight to our radio audience, but those of you here in this wonderful hall, please hang out. The Pinheads are going to do another 40, 45-minute set, so that'll be great for all of us. We'll have a little after party, y'all. But we would like to thank all of our guests tonight, if you don't mind. Gal Holiday and the Honky Tonk Review. That's country, baby. That's country. Robert St. John and Anthony Thaxton, y'all. This beautiful book. Walter Anderson, the Islander. And one more time for the Pinhead Brass Band. If you're out and about this fall, we will be kicking off our usual season in Oxford on Thursday, September 1. We would love to have each and every one of you jump on a bus and come on up there. We will try to have this much fun, but this has been a lot of fun. This is going to be a tough one to top. And that, and after that, though, we encourage you to listen to us on the radio every Saturday night at 7 p.m. on MPB, Mississippi Public Broadcasting. And for our friends over in Mobile over there on Alabama Public Radio. Once again, y'all, we thank the great staff here at the Walter Anderson Museum. What a vibrant thing y'all got going here. Very cool. Great energy. Hope you have us back. In the meantime, we'll see you on the radio. Gentlemen.
Jeffrey Reed. Our front of house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Hi there, this is Zach Ives. My show A Box of Records plays every Tuesday night, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. right here on WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm Robbie. Join me every weekday morning on The Drop for your daily dose of music, Memphis culture, motivation, and all you need to get your day going. Tune in for local news updates, daily concerts, and more. Only on 91.7 FM Memphis.
WYXR.
If I don't love you, baby, grits ain't grocery, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man.